This is Frank Skinner. This is Absolute Radio.
This is Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio with Emily Dean and Pierre Novelli. You can text the show on 81215. Follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at Frank on the Radio. Email the show via frank@absoluteradio.co.uk.
Morning, boys.
Hello. Hello, everyone. And here we are again.
Yeah.
I tell you what. This
Happy Black
week.
Country Day. Sorry yes. to interrupt, Frank.
Is it Black Country Day?
Yesterday.
It was yesterday.
Oh, I wasn't aware. Where, how long's that been going?
I don't know. Cole Spud 8216, just let me know.
Okay.
It's been going for a while. I remember it being mentioned when I was at uni.
Oh, really? I missed out. There's a Black Country flag now. In case you're not familiar with the country's regions... the Black Country is an area which I suppose is northwest of Birmingham. Called the Black Country because it was crucial in the Industrial Revolution and became covered in soot, basically. It's a bit less so now. Mm. After Thatcher ripped the heart. Hey, come on! Breakfast, right? Sorry, everyone.
Donkey jacket.
Oh, man.
With a burner.
So who did I meet this week?
Oh,
go on, Pierre. You have a stab at it.
Craig David.
Oh.
Oh, my word.
On Monday.
Are you actually joking?
No, I haven't finished the sentence yet. Craig David Dowsett.
Right.
Do you know him?
I thought I did, but no.
No. He starred...
Oh, is...
He starred in Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. Do you know it?
I do.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm really upset.
Why?
Because I thought you had met Craig David.
Oh, no. Well, this was more exciting for me. I was at Comic-Con again with my son. So Craig David Dowsett approached us and said hello. And I said, are you Winnie the Pooh from Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey? Which I've never seen, but I looked it up. Can I just give you, a one-sentence description on the internet of a film? Feral and bloodthirsty Winnie the Pooh and Piglet terrorise Christopher Robin and a group of young women at a remote house.
Is it animated?
No. No.
It's really horrible looking.
It looks terrifying.
So there's a man dressed up as Winnie the Pooh in a red t-shirt.
Yeah, but he's like Winnie the Pooh, if you could imagine, he's been through a difficult period.
Is it Winnie the Pooh broke bad?
Yeah.
Oh,
very much
dear.
So, yeah.
And Piglet, I mean, you know, pigs. People used to throw people into the pigs to finish off the evidence.
Yeah.
Oh, they've got it in their game, the pigs. Yeah. They do.
I imagine that Winnie the Pooh has a lot of visible stitches.
I couldn't see any on CDD. But I don't think he does. He looks, there's part of him that still looks jovial. That's what's terrifying about it.
He must have been amazed that you just pulled that out of the
air. Because me and Buzz had been sitting on the train on our way to Comic-Con looking who was on, and we said, oh my god, what's that terrible frightening picture? And it was him. I mean, as Winnie the Pooh, not as himself.
Wasn't his headshot.
No. I also got photographed with Tamara Morrison,
right,
who is Boba Fett.
Oh.
And I met, this is someone from my watching films when I was a kid. Well, not a kid, but a teenager. Chuck Norris.
Mm.
Oh, gosh, Chuck's still going.
He was in Way of the Dragon.
Yeah, Texas Ranger.
Yeah.
What do we think? Still alive at 85?
He must be about 85. Yeah. He's very. I was expecting the worst, but he was lovely.
Wow.
Because he's a martial arts guy, and also he wrote a book called Black Belt Patriotism, How to Reawaken America. I had an image of what he might be like, but he was friendly.
Yes, I thought he might have something of the with my cold dead hands about him, but that's reassuring.
No,
what's the hair like?
He was very, looking, I'd say he was a ginger.
Lovely.
Which always draws me in, of course. And you liked Henry VIII, of course. Perhaps one of the most famous gingers of them all.
Obsessed.
Yeah. So, it was great. I would really recommend Comic-Con. It's like, makes you feel good after. Yeah. What are you looking at me like that for?
There's a lovely missive in from Billy.
Okay.
And what I'm going to urge you to do is to take the good in this.
Right. All right.
Just book tickets in Edinburgh for Badil. Then later the same day, Frank on the radio.
Hmm. Well,
a comedy duo close to my heart. And then it's just a little sting in the tail.
Go on.
Is it 2003 again?
No. That's the answer to that. Yes, Dave is doing...
Dave's there as well.
Dave's doing, I think, 12 shows or something like that up there. Catch him while you can.
First half, I think.
Well, yeah, I have news.
Yeah, it's one of those first halfers.
One of those first halfers.
Yeah, come when the going gets tough.
Fringe half full.
I went to see this week... The king of stand-up, I believe he's been called.
What?
Joe Pasquale?
He was called the king of stand-up.
My arms are raised, in case you're wondering.
Evening Standard. I've also heard said of him. An evening in Skinner's company is always a delight. Has Kath seen that review?
No, I don't think she certainly didn't write it.
Okay, that was The Guardian. I went to see Frank.
Yes.
As you may have worked out by now. It's your... What do we call it, Frank? Is it work in progress?
It's sort of, yeah. It depends on your interpretation of the word progress. I call it work in cold stasis.
It's the run-up to the Edinburgh show.
It's sort of my last shows before Edinburgh, yeah. So it's my last chance to sort of experiment a bit until, like, week three of Edinburgh.
Is that when you start up the experimenting machine again?
Well, it's a bit jazzy.
Because when you get to a certain age where you can't just do that, you need to have something to stop you from falling asleep on stage.
Yes. Yes, that's fair.
I like to keep dabbling.
I fear the dabbling when I'm
up
there.
I fear it.
Do you want to know what I thought of it?
Yes.
Well, I went with... I had possibly the most glamorous escort possible. I said possible twice, but it's worth it when you hear who it is. I was with Lucy Pinder. Frank, you're familiar with her.
Yes, Lucy Pinder was, I don't know if she'd like, but she was...
No, she was a glamour...
She was the premier
model.
Page Three.
She wasn't actually Page Three.
Wasn't she?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
She was a glamour model. She was more FHM.
Oh, I see.
She's a total smoke show. And also...
I'm sure.
What does that mean?
Very attractive.
Oh, a total smoke show.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
She's a total
I thought
smoke
you meant
show.
She was ungraspable.
That was like that was like those moments in Trials where someone has to explain to the judge. Yeah.
It is a social media platform, milad.
What was it, Frank? We're like, who is this Gaza?
No, I always ask when I don't know.
Not only is she a total smoke show, she's also a total Frank fan.
Is she really?
Yes.
I did say that we worked together once on a pilot, and she said her ambition was to hold a chimpanzee.
Oh.
That made me think that she might be a very fine person.
She is. Yes.
Because it's a risk.
Hmm?
Well, she reminded me of that, and she said it was actually an orangutan.
But how could it have? That would be ludicrous. They would kill you. And they're too big to hold, aren't they? Don't let Clint Eastwood fool you.
No.
I think an orangutan, and as I've said, I always champion the gingers, but even so, I think they would rip your head off, whereas you just get a terrible, terrible bite from a chimp.
I just always thought the orangutans were the more sedate of the pair.
Yeah, they're strong, though. God. Yeah.
Do you want to know what I thought of it?
We can come back after this. What about She Hates Me? I've got time to talk her out of it during the music. Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio.
Ruth Jordan
yes.
has been in touch, Pierre, hasn't she?
She has.
What does she say?
Well, she's on edge waiting for your review of Frank's show and adds in, how much of a git will Frank be if it includes notes?
I don't know what she means by that.
With what I would call the grimace emoji.
Oh.
Sort of awkward, teeth-bared, like a frightened chimp grimace emoji.
Do you know, yeah. I spend a great deal of time Googling emojis to see what they mean. Because I get sent them all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think these young... And they'll send them with the confidence of these youths, the way they'll just slip the emoji on the end. And I end up taking a screenshot, enlarging it, and looking at the teeth, the structure of the emoji, to see what does that expression mean.
So you do a sort of airport face scan.
I do. I go forensic. I take the emoji into the incident room.
See, I don't. I'm such. I hardly ever get an emoji. I don't
do you
get.
Not?
I don't get communications from the young. I'm one of the few.
I'm glad to hear it.
I'm one of the few grey-haired celebrities.
Oh my God.
No, so
what
I don't.
Doing?
So I don't. I only know the most basic of emojis.
Smiley face.
No, yeah, but the grimacy ones get confusing, Pierre.
Yes, context is key.
I get, you know, thumbs up, that kind of emoji. I don't. I've never seen one that remorse, for example, expressed in an emoji.
Well, there's one which really confused me, which is sort of blushing eyes. I mean, it was all... It's,
blushing
yes,
eyes?
The eyes look to be blushing. There's yeah. a heart here. No, the eyes look to be welling up with emotion, and I couldn't work out... Is
oh,
this
the sort of big shiny eyes one.
Yes, what does that mean?
Like a sort of begging...
That's the hay
puppy.
Fever emoji.
Yes.
Okay.
But, I mean, it ceases to be... the idea is that it makes communication very quick and...
Yes.
Compact. So if it's sort of vague...
I think it's just for adding tone now. It's
what I'm saying is, should one get ambiguity from an emoji? 8, 12, 15.
So...
Hold it. We've just had the fez has just gone up. We never got round. I'm glad. You know...
Are you getting worried
I mean, if
about
you like it, I'll get embarrassed. And if you don't, I'll experience grief. So
okay.
Can I just tell you, when I came into work this morning, I saw a pub closed down and someone had spray painted on the wall, "He's gone to Norway." If only life could always be that. I feel like I know the whole story now, what's gone on there. Yeah. Great. Now, well done, that person.
Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio.
Okay.
Spit it out.
I need to get this review.
Spit it out.
My dentist seems to have changed since I was last here.
Yeah.
I shall be swapping practices immediately. Okay. My review of Frank Skinner, a work in progress. Would you say it's a preview of...
Well, it's mainly this, more or less the Edinburgh show with a bit of experimentation still remaining. Called 30 Years of Dirt.
Come on. I didn't want Frank to see me. I didn't tell him I was going.
Oh, secret.
Yeah, because I like his soul to sing openly. Unfettered.
That's
and
very
so
kind.
I sat with Lucy.
Well, I had a guy in the other night, and every time I looked at him, he was honestly looking at me like he despised me.
Oh.
And in the end, I had to say, "Mate, what's happened?"
I think that was the night I went.
And he said, "No, that was a different guy who despised me." This guy said, "This was a younger guy," and he said, "I'm only here because my mum wants to be, and she couldn't come on her own." I said, and his name was Harry.
Mm.
And I thought, something about Harrys, they never want to be where they are. Prince Harry, Harry Kane, this bloke.
Yeah.
What is he?
Styles is something of a rover.
I imagine he's pretty happy with his lot at the moment. Happy Harry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There was a man when I was in, and Frank said to him, "Mate, you're looking at your watch."
Yeah, well,
Frank then said, "I'm going home."
Did I say that?
Yeah, you said, "You're looking at your watch," and I might as well just go home then. Yeah, and we all went, "No."
No, I'm quite a sensitive person.
This is why we love you. Anyway, I was so relieved because there was a... It was packed, King of Stand-Up.
Mm-hmm. Well, it holds 120. So let's not put out the aspidistra.
Well, it was packed. And the people in front of us were yet to arrive. So I sat there praying. I said to Lucy, oh, I hope it's a big unit. Because I actually want my view blocked so that Frank can't see me. And all I can say, I won't say anything about the gentleman concerned, but the Lord delivered.
Oh, good.
It was something of a total eclipse. The review?
Okay. I can't cope with the silences.
Pierre?
Yeah?
It's like a painter.
Pierre? Yeah.
Yes?
It wasn't good. It was...
Oh, it's one of those. I don't like cricket.
Spectacular. Wee. I would say Wee. It was the best stand-up I've seen you do.
Ah. I was going to think it was the best stand-up you'd ever seen, and then I was going to look straight at Pierre.
Well, I couldn't say that. Frank, it's brilliant.
Oh.
I was so proud.
Oh.
I laughed so hard, I'm actually going to have Botox next week.
Well, I got a bit confused because I thought you'd act when from your message, I thought you'd bought Pindar, the Greek poet. So I was shocked by the photograph. He didn't look anything like that on the statues.
Did you think, thank God I didn't know Pindar was in?
Yeah, exactly.
I would have felt so self-conscious about my verse.
I'm glad I didn't know Emily was in, or indeed Lucy Pindar. I mean, you do, yeah, feel.
Please go and see Frank's show in Edinburgh. You won't regret it.
Mm. Oh, well, thanks. Mucho appreciatum. As I think they said in ancient Rome. Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio. This is still Frank Skinner. Oh, I tell you what, do you remember a few weeks ago on the show, I spoke of dining out with Holly Walsh, someone who's done the show several times. Famous comedian, writer, and her husband, John. And we dined at their house, and above our table, they had one of those things you get in bus stops with the bus timetable on it.
And it was it's the actual board.
It's the actual thing. It actually tells you what bus is due and when if there's a bus, it might say, blah, 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 going to Brent Cross, 11 minutes.
Right.
So you know exactly when... You know when politicians say, I've decided I need to spend more time with my family? Well, it's an aid for doing that, because you don't have to leave till just before the bus is coming.
And it literally is... it's connected to the London Transport updates.
Yeah, how do they swing that?
Well, no, they're all for it, London Transport, because they want people to use London Transport.
More buses.
Yeah,
right.
And trains.
Yeah. We should say, point of order, Transport for London.
Oh, yes, yeah. TfL.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So I had a communication from a company called Racco. I mentioned Racco. I hope that's how you say it, cause it's a Maori word. I don't really want to say it wrong.
Oh.
R-A-K-A-U. What do you think?
R-A-K-A-U.
It's got to be Racco, doesn't it?
And
it
means Racco.
It's a Maori for wood.
Sure.
Oh.
Okay. And they said, would you like one?
A bus stop?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
I said, you bet your sweet bippy was what I said.
Oh.
And so I had it fitted this week. It's called Racco, I think, because it's got a wooden finish. They've finished it off a bit more neatly than the ones in the bus stops.
Have you played? May I ask where in the home it's positioned?
It's at the bottom of the stairs. So when I go down in the morning,
that's a good
since
one.
I've had it fitted, I walk down and go, and remember I've.
I'm going to have to come round and see it in situ. Frank.
Is the lettering still orange?
Yes, you can change the colour of the lettering, but I want to stick to the original.
What does Buzz make of it?
That was my question.
He absolutely... Oh. Buzz laughed at it for about 40 minutes. I don't know why. Just to the ridiculousness of it. But the next morning I went down and I just thought, look at that. You know when you wake up next to someone much more good-looking than you remembered them the night before? It was like that.
But with bus stops?
Yeah, but with the bus
and was
thing.
And is Kath all comfortable
Kath
with this
loves
arrangement?
It. Oh. Kath absolutely loves it. And obviously, it's not... I don't think there's that many celebs that have got them because most of the celebs I know... are not aware of public transport as a phenomenon.
They just think there are some enormous red cars that seem to be blocking things.
Well, I won't name names, but I was once with a comedian and we had to go to a photo shoot. We'd done an interview. It wasn't David Baddiel, in case you're wondering. We had to go to a photo shoot.
He's quite
a
man of the people, to be fair.
Well, he isn't, but anyway, it wasn't him. He drives everywhere.
I wouldn't describe him as grand.
He's like an old showbiz guy, you know, they just jump in the car.
Yes, he did once drive to the BAFTAs and I laughed at him and I still can't park in Piccadilly Circus.
Anton de Beck, I interviewed him like at the Café de Paris in the West End. He drove in. Yeah. I'd never do it, but I only do it because I'd be too frightened that I wouldn't be able to park anywhere. There's no moral reason. But anyway, so this comedian said to me, are we going to get into town? I said, just get the tubes. He said, I can't go on the tube. I'll be mobbed. Huh. And I thought, how do I say...
No, you won't.
I'm more famous than you without saying I'm more famous than you. And I didn't say that. So we had to get a car in case he got mobbed.
In case he got mobbed.
Come on.
I love the having a bus stop in sort of sign in your home is very city of the future.
It is like that. I mean, it's very classic Who.
Yes.
Every man will have his own bus station.
The lettering is very classic
it's
Who.
It's quite, meet George Jetson. Yeah.
But it is like, it's like art as well as information. That's what I'm saying.
This is Frank Skinner. This is Absolute Radio.
This is Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio with Emily Dean and Pierre Novelli. Text the show on 81215. Follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at Frank on the Radio. Email the show via Frank at absoluteradio.co.uk.
Okay.
So?
I like you that you did your Ollie.
Yeah.
Which do you see yourself more as spiritually? Are you a Stan or an Ollie?
I think I was a Stan and I've become an Ollie, but maybe that's what happens to people as they get older.
You're an Ollie.
So now, and I learnt about women from you. The important thing is when you fall over, you have to go, whoa! You have to really do the thing. Yeah. Anyway, outsidey worldy.
Well, we've had this. We were talking about your gig at the Moth Club. 735. Amazing to see Frank at the Moth Club on Thursday. Fulfilled a lifetime ambition.
Goodness.
It will stay with me for a long time. Did Frank know that someone fainted at the gig?
No, I didn't know that.
She went down like a tree.
Oh, dear. I'm sorry to hear that.
And I'm glad I've been told because I was turning around and going, oh... Because I could hear people saying...
Oh, I see, and it was someone...
Will you be quiet?
When we went to the Globe the other week to watch The Comedy of Errors...
Are you going
to
mention George again? Yeah, well, you mentioned Pierre's friend George on a weekly... He's obsessed
with him. We spoke to George after, and he said, didn't he, that we get three or four fainters a week...
Yes.
...amongst the groundlings.
He even calls them casually fainters.
Yeah. And I told my... Fainting. We've all got a fainting anecdote. You know, as you know, I don't actually believe that fainting exists. I think it's a decision.
He said it's made
ultimately
up.
It's a decision. But
it's not Frank. I fainted. I told you mine. I was with Evan Dando from the Lemonheads, and I fainted just outside his dressing room.
Yeah, convenient. My point in a nutshell. But what do you expect this weather? So I was at Ludlow Castle. Seeing John Milton's Comus, a mask being performed, and I don't wish to exaggerate.
What's wrong with the band on?
I'd say 30 old age pensioners were literally carried out above head height.
Oh, God.
They had fainted.
Hot weather.
It was like 33 degrees or something like that. But, you know, castles, they're aerated. Mm. Remember they used to say that about the Queen Mother? Used to get blokes back home saying, oh, see, her lives a long time. She's grew up in them drafty castles.
Oh, yeah.
These are blokes that lived in, like, terrible council flats. It never occurred to them that that might apply to them. Oh, drafty. Yes, it is tough in those drafty castles, being waited on hand and foot.
You know that woman?
Hand and footman, as she would say.
The handmen are given much lower billing than the footmen.
Oh, yeah, handmen get almost no credit at all. That's why I left. Yes, so, was...
Yes, well, I didn't... We have sufficient time. I got Fez anxiety there, Frank. I'm going to be honest. Sometimes the producer whips the Fez out.
Yes.
And I didn't know whether it was going to be one of those
moments.
Imagine
if we were doing a radio show in Tangier. How confusing it would be.
I think I know who the diplomat would be.
Moi?
Yes.
Yeah, you've really got something of the diplomat about you.
Do you think?
Yes,
No, he hasn't.
Oh, he has.
No,
if you call
me a geek, wait till he's my age, you will be utterly unbearable.
I don't mean he's diplomatic. I mean, physically, he's got something of the Jean Le Carré novel. I can see him as one of those characters.
Do you think he's a bit judgy, though? He's a bit judgy.
What do you mean?
He's just judgy to be in the world.
To be in the diplomatic corps.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but he looks the part.
He'd be a good spy, but he's not going to... I mean,
he'd be a great spy.
Too big for a spy.
I can't hide in a crowd.
No.
No, outside of the Netherlands.
Maybe if you're at the World's Strongest Man competition undercover.
Do you know what? You would have blended in there.
Well, if I was at the World's Strongest Man, I mean, I would stand out like a... Well, like a wimp is how I would stand out, I suppose. But let's not bother with any sort of metaphor. That's how I would stand out. Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio.
I'm enjoying Lauren's correspondence, who sent us a lot of praise, which sadly, I'm afraid, Lauren, we have strict rules surrounding praise.
But thanks. We like to read it to each other.
But I also like Lauren's sign-off, which I will share, which is, go on, Winnie the Pooh.
Oh. Maybe she's seen the film.
Yes, maybe. It'd be a fun thing to bellow at a wood.
Yes.
Go on, Winnie the Pooh.
Just really scream it. Now, in terms of, I know we sometimes indulge in a feature, whatever happened to.
Mm. Yes.
You might think that in these stricter, more nervous times that chat-up lines were no longer a thing.
Yeah, some people would say more enlightened to describe the times.
But I do know...
Not the diplomat.
No, I have some female friends who complain that they are never approached IRL. Mm.
It doesn't happen anymore.
It's all just on the apps.
They don't need to approach IRL.
They've got the apps.
They've got the apps, man.
However,
they hide behind the apps.
I've got a classic Who bus timetable. People are only approached by computer.
Yeah.
See, we are living in the 21st century, as I imagined it.
I just wish cars made the Jetson sound. That sort of.
I wish they hovered.
Oh yeah.
That's still the one thing they haven't delivered on is the hover car.
You'd never. Accidentally run over a cat again.
Never.
You'd see them.
When you say never...
I don't like again.
I didn't like the use of accidentally.
Well, I was talking about again.
No, but I think Pierre suggested you might go over one deliberately.
Yeah. But it would have to leap into the air for the hover car to hit it. Anyway, that means that we still have chat-up lines. They're just more often in textual form.
Right.
Well, I'm glad you said textual line. There.
Mm. I mean, I'm a bit out
here in the snug, we like to... I've seen a news story this week that brought this to mind, which was that they've conducted a poll of the greatest chat-up lines of all time. Mm. A poll of single Britons, which means that the chat-up lines can't be that good.
They really aren't. I thought when I saw this article, I was so brought down by it.
Yes.
That I thought it might have been, you know, these estate agents whose job is selling land, which is basically those small pieces of rock that just jut out of the sea for people to build a house on. I thought it might have been put out by them. So people would think, yes, that's where I'm going to live for the rest of my life.
I'll squat there.
I always found chat-up lines the most excruciating thing.
Did
in
you?
The 70s.
Mm.
The only one I've ever used is...
Have you used one? What was it?
You Smell Nice. That was my standard one, which in the West Midlands in the 70s was a more unique compliment than you might expect.
Was that all you had to say?
That was it. That was... I never...
Did it work sometimes?
Not until I became a celebrity. And then I don't think it was the chat line that was doing it.
A correlation-causation problem.
I think there is. But no, I was a terrible failed. I couldn't... I was nervous, and I just couldn't do a chat-up line because I couldn't cope with the self-loathing.
Do you know what? This is timely because for the first time in at least a decade, it happened to... I got a cold open approach the other day.
Did you?
Yes, I was all done up. Let's put this in context. Mm. I'd been somewhere and a man, thank God I have evidence of this because I was on the phone to Faye, who previously worked with us at the time.
On the phone.
On the phone.
It was on the phone.
She said, "What's going on?" I was so relieved she heard it, Frank.
Oh, she, okay.
So I do have evidence. Mm. This gentleman approached me. And I think he might have had a couple of cocktails.
Right.
And he approached me and he said, excuse me. He was with a friend. I think it might have been a dare or something. But, you know, the fact is he was in his mid-30s and he had teeth.
Right.
Mm. He was clothed.
Yeah.
He seemed perfectly respectable. And he said, excuse me, can I grab your number?
Oh.
It was quite an interesting way because
were you doing a fun run?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay.
And it was.
I just wondered where you'd put your number.
Frank, it was so casual.
Yeah.
You know, he said, "Excuse me," and he rested on me. He said, "Can I just grab your number?"
That's a very cut to the.
Yes,
chat.
And I said sorry. I was very.
There's no messing around.
Yeah, I was very thrown, and he said, "Well, it's just that you're actually quite attractive."
Okay,
I didn't like quite.
See, I thought the chat-up lines worked the other way around. You said something that suggested they were quite attractive and then went for the number, but this guy is
he's changing the game.
Yeah, he is.
Well,
he's obviously in a terrible rush.
Yes. I don't want to be at 7 on your to-do list.
No.
And I don't like quite.
What about actually?
Oh, no, but people, some people...
That film's never going to take
some
off,
people,
actually quite attractive.
Do you think people use quite sometimes to mean sort of very?
Particularly
Frank,
Americans.
You're such a good friend.
You're quite attractive.
Yeah, exactly.
They use it like that.
Oh, Frank, that was quite funny. I think that means intensely. That's how I interpret it. Yeah.
So we were talking about chat-up lines. Oh, I didn't tell you. So the ending of the youth that approached me on the street.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't much of an ending, but it was quite nice because I just said, I think because he'd approached me on the street, and I was so shocked, frankly, at being approached, my immediate response was to say, oh, no, I don't think so.
Mm. Oh.
And he said, you know what he said, which I liked, and, oh, I know hard feelings.
That's good, though.
It was a lovely exchange.
I think that's a good 21st century. Cut to the chase so you're not hanging around too long making anyone nervous. And then when as soon as you get your negativity, you're out of there.
That was like a live training video. You were in there. You could have been produced by an HR department.
Yeah, that was a sort of drive-by.
No hard feelings.
It's like a drive-by.
I don't think so.
Up.
Thank you. Yeah. After school special.
I won't be crossing any boundaries, though.
No, I think that well done you is what I would say to him.
I still respect you as a colleague.
So anyway, they had the top 25 chat-up lines.
Oh, yeah, go on then, hit me,
so,
baby.
Number 19, for example, was, do you know what my shirt is made of?
Oh, yeah.
Marriage material.
Right.
So there are 6 that are worse than that.
Food for thought.
In their opinion. I mean, can you imagine? It's unbelievable.
I find it's usually nylon anyway.
Do you know what my shirt is made of? Marriage. But what do you mean? Why are you telling me this?
Well, I'll marry the shirt then.
But it's not angled at all to anything. It's just words. It's like an avant-garde chat-up line.
Do you know what
you
my shirt
answer,
is
I would just say, well, man-made fibres, I presume.
Mm. Well, that's the other thing as well. The risk is that people won't wait. Like, they say things like... There's one about coffee, about latte. What's is your name Coffee? Because I like you a latte, they say. Yeah. Oh. But I think the trouble is with that is you'll say to someone, is your name Coffee? And they'll go, no.
No.
Why do you ask that? And you'll never get to your sensational punchline.
Is your name Coffee? No. Now go away.
There was one I liked, okay?
Okay.
And I would agree with you on all of them. However, I think it might have been number three. Are you a parking ticket? Because you've got fine written all over you. Now, I'll tell you why I can work with that. Mm. Hear me out. At least they've bothered to create, to fashion a setup and right. some sort of payoff. And it sort of makes a strange sense. Plus, it allows you to leave with dignity because you're not actually, you're just making a statement. You're just being complimentary, aren't
There's
you?
No follow-up question, yeah.
But still, they could still jump in on, are you a parking ticket? So, are you a parking ticket? Because if I get this over quickly, it'll be cheaper.
Are you a parking ticket? Because I can sense this will end in a terrible dispute.
I mean, I don't know. You, as a woman, you're okay with these kind of obviously written lines from people?
Yes, because at least they're bothering these types. As I mean, it's better than just getting the emoji and how you do it.
If I was a woman, I think somebody said, is your name Coffee? I say, no, my name is Sue because I take legal action against sexual predators.
Also, if they said, is your name Coffee? I mean,
also, Sue is a real name as well. It has that advantage.
And if you sent that to Kofi Annan, it would be a very short exchange.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Your point.
Yeah, you can't be dropping this in the bar at the UN in a certain era.
Is your name Coffee? Yes.
Yes. What do you want?
I just sit there messy. It was a messy meeting that generated a lot of these. Like, is your name Google? Because you're what I've been searching for.
Do you like
but
that?
You don't search for Google. You search with Google.
No, you'd have to say, is your name Google? Because now I'd like you to help me find more people to say this to. In
and
a kind
actually,
of infinite fractal.
You're
of
course, right,
if you
Frank.
If you approach a slightly a more senior lady like Emily, you might say, is your name Ask Jeeves? Because you're what I've been searching for. Frank Skinner.
Frank Skinner. Absolute Radio. Frank 022. Hi, Frank. My name is Alan Coffey. My flatmate, genuinely, years ago, was called Belinda T.
Belinda T.
He's called Alan Coffey.
Oh, I see.
People said we would have made a lovely couple.
I knew a couple back in Birmingham when I worked at the Triangle, and she was called Corrie and he was called Rice. That's a genuine story.
Really?
Yeah. Very nice people.
I wonder what the pickup line was.
Yeah, let's... I've got a serving suggestion for you.
Do you want to be at my side?
Do you like to surround me, or shall I encrust you?
In Rome.
Get away from me.
Frank, also 220, I feel...
220 reminds me of that all-nude ballet I went to.
Oh, God's sake, God. Frank.
It took me a second there. That joke had a little... bus delay on the sign in my mind.
I decided not to get on it. Frank, listen to this from 220. I fainted once during midnight mass at Pluscarden Abbey.
Oh, I don't know that.
I came round to see three cowled heads looking down at me with a smell of smoke in the background.
Are you sure you fainted and didn't die?
I thought Frank would appreciate that.
Yes.
There you
go. Is that the end of the story? Three cowled heads.
Jules Rimet, still clean me.
What if it had been that? I think we're going to need to rewrite this. People aren't getting the cowled heads. I think they have a cowled head as a head that's had very terrible plastic surgery.
With two black threaded wheat on the top, as you once said.
A Simon Cowell's head.
That is the best description of a hairstyle ever. When Frank said Simon Cowell's hair looks like two black shredded wheat.
He's done well, though. God bless
him. He does. We're quite fond of him. I have something to share with you, boys.
Oh?
when I saw this story, I was intrigued because I don't know what your game is. I appreciate you're both in, you know, happy long-term relationships now, so you won't have need of the chat-up line. And I don't know what, I don't know whether you would have one that you would have used, Frank. You've shared one with us.
Yeah, I mean, they'd be fun to come up with, if you know what I mean.
Well, guess what? Yeah. You don't have to, because I used AI.
Oh.
I know it's not popular at the moment.
Is that acceptable to the Actors Union?
Well, no. I like to think this demonstrates how necessary human beings are to the creative process.
Okay, because they've done a great job with... Do you know what my shirt is made of? Marriage material.
So I've gone to the... what is it called, Pierre? It's called AI... It's one of these ChatGPT or something.
Yes.
You know, the AI thing.
I don't really...
I put in a question... And I asked it a question. I'm always very polite with the AI. I say, hello there. I don't think you're meant to do that, Frank.
No, that's nice.
I say, hello there. Could you please come up with a chat-up line... if I was Frank Skinner trying to chat up a lady, what would he say?
You can put that much information.
Oh, you can put in pages of information.
Yeah. Okay.
And it replied. Do you want to know what it said?
Yes.
Well, comma. I like the well.
Yeah.
Since Frank Skinner...
There was a time that would have been enough in my glory days.
Well, since Frank Skinner is a comedian known for his quick wit and humour... Oh, it's suddenly warmer.
AI, a less up-to-date thing than I thought.
Also, don't be so hasty, actors. You're suddenly thinking...
vintage AI?
It might be fun to play along with that, says AI.
Yeah, okay. Cut to the chase, AI.
And use a light-hearted comedic chat-up line.
Shall we make this a cliffhanger?
Here's one you could try.
OK. I'm looking forward to it. Frank Skinner. Frank Skinner.
Absolute Radio. Absolute Radio. I've just realised I've only got one eye mascara, so it's all gone a bit Clockwork Orange here this morning.
I can't tell that.
Oh, you're so kind. OK. I was about to share the chat-up line, the Frank Skinner chat-up line that AI had generated for me.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Come on, out with
this
it.
This is the chat-up line. What AI returned to me is a chat-up line that Frank can use.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That'll
I thought,
be handy. Yeah.
No, what it actually was, in fact, was a chat-up line to be used on Frank Skinner.
Oh.
Here we go. Hey, Frank. I don't know, hey, Frank.
Well, I've already walked away. I think you've mistaken me for a cast member of Glee. Hey, Frank.
Hey, Frank. Are you a magician?
No. And away.
And scene.
Yeah.
Because whenever you perform, you always make me laugh like it's pure magic.
Oh, it's flabby.
How dare you? I've been going to the gym every day.
The first thing I'd do if they said, are you a magician? I'd look down to see if I was wearing a colourful waistcoat. That would be my first thing. It's terrible.
And then it gives a little note afterwards, AI. It says, remember, the goal is to keep it playful and light-hearted. Frank Skinner really appreciates humour. Don't tell me what Frank Skinner appreciates. So a humorous approach might make for an entertaining exchange with him.
The mistake they've made is that they assume Frank Skinner really appreciates all humour.
Yes. Also,
I once, and this is a tiny bit gittish, but when I used to actually work at my management company, I had an office there. I once sent out an all persons thing that said, please don't include me in the viral joke things that you send around.
Did you say that?
I am a professional comedian and it is like dropping poison into a well. Once I've read these things, I feel my comic judgment might be forever impaired. I'd had so many things like, here's a song about Manchester United to the... shut up with it.
So you were like a sort of sommelier saying, please stop smoking.
Yeah, it was like that.
Nose.
It was secondary viral humour.
Did you get any responses to this?
Nothing. But I never got another one of those.
I can't imagine anyone said anything about
it. I can't cope with the viral jokes.
No.
Well, I'm sorry to tell you.
Occasionally, like, you know the singing cat? Sometimes I'm alone. Sometimes I'm dying. You know that one?
Yeah.
I don't mind that.
Yeah, that's not a joke you can write.
No, exactly.
An organic happening.
That's cat humour.
That's cat humour.
Do you want to know what AI came up with? If one wanted to chat up Pierre, which we said would not be appropriate because he's, you know, happily partnered up, but just if AI was to suggest something.
Does it begin, hey, you up there, in a loud voice?
We'll soon find out.
Once again, the producer's giving us the heavies, so we'll find out soon.
Okay.
We've had a few people asking about Rakow.
So many people.
Who did my bus and train timetable. Yes, trains too.
David Crossley and Joe Bloggs, please, we want to know where we can go.
They're on Insta. I can tell you that.
Okay.
And we'll try and put something.
We'll put a link of some sort.
I had no idea there was such a yearning for
bus timetable.
Say, it's more than information, though. It's a lovely thing. Anyway, there's a picture of it actually on. Can I say I have no share in this company?
Yeah.
No?
You simply admire their objet.
Yeah, exactly.
I had left us on something of a cliffhanger.
Yes.
I was going to share what AI had come up with, should one wish to chat up Pierre. Okay.
Right, I'm bracing myself.
Too right, we're out of time.
I've girded my loins.
Thanks very much for listening this week.
Hey, Pierre.
Hello.
I have a confession to make.
I see.
You bring the South African heat with your comedy. And I must say, you're like the Bry brackets barbecue that ignites laughter in my heart. Care to spice up our conversation with some fiery humour? It says, in brackets, feel free to modify or adapt the line to match your own style and delivery. The idea is to highlight Pierre Novelli's South African background and his ability to bring the heat and humour to his performances.
Heat.
All while maintaining a light-hearted and playful tone.
Okay.
What say you, Frank Skinner?
Well, as with all of these, it offends me in many ways.
Yes.
I'd have thought the Isle of Man might throw up more because it's got the word man in it.
Yes.
Might have a sort of man-o-man type thing going on.
Yeah, that's more...
But South Africa, I don't know if I'd want to incorporate it into a chat-up life.
I don't know how much my humour is fiery.
No.
Or
no.
Barbecue-like in any way.
Smiled. I've seen you smiled.
Yeah. Who do you think is worse, Frank's or Pierre's?
Oh, I think Pierre's is worse.
Much worse.
Too long.
It goes on for about 7 minutes.
I was thinking, what about Is Your Name? In the style of Is Your Name Google, Is Your Name Amazon? Because you come with quite a lot of excess packaging. What about that?
That's good. I've actually written a few of my own in those veins.
Oh.
Those veins? In that vein.
Okay.
If I can test these out, what do you guys think of these? Do you think these would work?
Go on, fire off.
Go on.
Are you the Financial Times? Because you're pink and respectable.
Okay.
Is that good?
Why do I want to be pink?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
It says nice.
Especially in
healthy?
A South African accent. It's a bit worried.
Pink and respectable.
What about...
It sounds... I'm okay. Really concerned about that
I've
one.
I've started with the worst one.
Okay.
We're going up in quality.
We haven't got to guess what my shirt is made of.
No,
Biltong.
No. Yeah. Beef. Do you
the
like
cheers.
Beef? That's the main chat-up line. Are you a new restaurant? Because I'm interested, but you might be awful.
No, you can't. Pierre, that's terrible.
I hope your current relationship, it works out well.
Pierre, that's awful.
Okay, what about this one?
I bet Frank
give us your best.
Okay. The best one.
He's a man who's lost confidence, I can tell. Go on, fire away.
Are you a bear? Because you can sort of dance, but it's cruel to make you.
Oh.
Oh, that's not really a chat-up line, though, is it?
I know, but I think it's one that Pierre gets quite a lot. Are you a bear?
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, in certain dating communities, that means something very different.
Exactly.
You don't want to walk in and say, are you a bear?
It's basically, it's an impossible thing, yes. The whole chat-up line, without really lowering yourself. I think
well,
it's
it is
impossible.
If you say, are you a bear?
Yeah. Are you a bear? And just leave it at that.
No? Well,
are you
day,
a
then.
Bear? You smell like one. Yeah. No. Yeah, there could be a hog element in the are you a bear.
It's the, I'm still reeling from the from restaurant gate, quite frankly.
What about are you because you're pink?
And respectable. Like,
and respectable.
It would work if you met pink.
Yes.
Are you the Financial Times because you're pink? What about that?
Be a good nickname for pink. All right, FT.
Yeah. Don't you think you're saying hefty? Mm-hmm. Got to be so careful nowadays. Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio.
I'd like to return to a subject that has been previously discussed on this show via some correspondence we've had in the week from our loyal readers. The subject of brains faggots.
Oh, yes. Now, I was saying I grew up eating faggots and peas, faggots and pies, as we sort of called them. And I don't see them. I don't know if it's just been in the southeast of England. I never. I was having some exotic meatballs in a Greek restaurant, and I thought, these are lovely, but they're not. They're not like the faggots of yesteryear. So they still exist.
Well, Lisa Matthews, Frank Hemenpierre, long-time reader, first-time correspondent, while scouring the freezer section of Sainsbury's in Leatherhead, Surrey, what did I spy? Yes, Mr. Brain's pork faggots. Family favourite since 1925, very reasonably priced at £1.60 for six.
That's a worry, isn't it? Because they could have been in the back of the freezer since 1978.
Well, Lisa, double S... Given I am born and raised in Surrey, I did not buy them. Lisa, brackets, also an MBE.
Oh.
That'd be a nice friend for you, Frank.
So would it be Lissa?
Oh, possibly, Pierre.
Lissa. I think it's Alyssa.
I think it's Lissa. And Lissa MBE. We'll never know what she got them for. Services to faggots spotting.
Yeah, in Surrey, of all places.
It's a great name, Leatherhead, isn't it? There must be a villain called Leatherhead. It rings a bell.
Oh, fine. Sure. Well, that's what villain. I call you since you got that crown.
Yeah. And you see that, you know those blokes that live at the seaside and only ever wear shorts?
Yes.
Oh,
They tend to have a leather head.
Lovely tan. Are they similar? Do they belong to the same group? Are they in the same Venn diagram as the, what I call the Italian fashion designer on the beach? Leathery tan men.
Yes, I think so. Also, I suppose Slipknot could live in Leatherhead.
Yes.
That would be great if they got a place together there. Just a little pied de terre. Is that a word? Pied de terre?
Pied de terre.
Oh, okay, thanks.
Lovely sitcom
and
potential.
Daz has got in touch. Hi, Frank. Yeah. You certainly can still buy brains faggots, but unfortunately, like everything else we enjoyed as kids, myself up in Stafford, religiously, we had them on Wednesday night with mash and mushy peas. They are not the same nowadays.
Oh,
over-processing and undoubtedly for maximum profit, sadly a disappointment.
Oh, dear.
Daz ends with... And other things I never thought I'd see in 2023. Maybe the problem is the lack of salt and lard.
Yes, that I can see that.
I often say that.
Yeah.
I've never said that in
that's
my life.
That's actually one of my chat-up lines. Frank Skinner
on Absolute Radio. I have some news for you. Via one of our readers.
Is that still going?
Do you like that, Frank?
Okay.
Actually?
What?
Do you like Have I Got News for You?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Of course. Everyone likes that, don't they?
Okay. Charles Triton or Triton.
Right.
Dear Frank, Emily and Pierre, Graham Norton is definitely wrong. I mean, this pains me to hear this because I'm a huge GN fan.
Well...
Charles continues, though, the BBC have now confirmed, calm down everyone, it's all right, that Flying Ant Day is a thing.
Okay, well, You heard it here first.
I think unless Mr. Norton offers an immediate apology to Frank...
I think that bird has flown.
Oh, I think he would apologise.
I think he was just trying to make our protected Hollywood guests feel more at home. That they
it's
have
fair
people
enough.
Who deal with the flying ants, I imagine, at their Beverly Hills homes.
Yes, the only flying ants that they have to deal with are sort of on screen.
Are us, let's face it.
Yes.
We're the
we
ants.
Are their flying ants.
Oh,
we are.
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
We really are. I would also like to share this from Carol Patton, as in the colonel or general, in the Wirral.
Okay.
She has hot news regarding the inflatable man.
Oh, last week I talked of my love for the rippling giants, who were those inflatable men who you put hot air into the bottom of. And they, as you say, you see them outside car dealerships nowadays.
Yes.
They've been reduced to that. Like the once great comedy writers having to do the punchlines for things like Blind Date.
Blind Date hasn't been on for 42 years.
That's what
something.
A bloke said to I did Des O'Connor. He said, "You guys, you writer performers, you've ruined it for a lot of comedy writers. So I've got a mate, great writer, he's working on Blind Date now, doing the questions."
Sorry
for being multi-talented. I said,
"Wow."
You apologised for containing multitudes.
Yeah, exactly.
So Carol from the Wirral, who is a big fan, she says, imagine my surprise when I was scrolling through a local selling site, my kind of woman, understands, commercial radio, got to be careful, and stumbled upon this picture, and it is a picture of an inflatable man.
Ah.
The inflatable man is called, we're not getting paid by these people, we don't know them, but it is called Bongo's Bingo, Inflatable Man.
Oh, see, that's put me off it.
Well, I'll tell you. Can I tell you more about Bongo's Bingo before you judge him?
Yeah, but even inflatable man is entitled to a certain dignity.
Is he?
But Bongo's Bingo.
Okay.
You feel like he's lowered himself.
I feel he has been reduced. Not by himself. I think it sounds like modern slavery to me.
Or did someone walk past with a cigarette? He looks a bit. Bongo's Bingo. He's 30 feet tall and he's red from head to toe.
Yeah. Well, he's embarrassed by the name.
He looks also to me like he might have been to the rich comedian's dentist.
Oh,
you know
he's
I mean.
Got the big white teeth.
Yeah. Okay.
He's got the big dentures. I was thinking, continues Carol, not only would it provide a great source of amusement for people far and wide, but it could also be adapted to suit any seasonal attire. I'm thinking maybe Bongo's Bingo could have a nice white beard and a sack of toys at Christmas, a sort of skinny Santa, or add some devil horns to Bongo's Bingo at Halloween, and hey presto, a 30-foot Halloween prop that's sure to be the envy of the neighbourhood.
I don't know how much weight one of those guys would take.
Yeah.
I don't think they'd take a sack.
I think if you put too heavy a beard on Bongo, his
well, it's
face...
Bongo now, is it? I
well,
wanted to give you permission to call it that.
Please, Bongo's Bingo is my father's name. Call me Bongo.
Oh, man. Of course, he comes from the Windsock family. I suppose that'd be his original. No. No, I think he's Catholic.
This is Frank Skinner. Absolute Radio.
So, if I could just finish off the Bongo's Bingo content.
Oh, yes, yes.
Well, I might ask, how much do you think you can pick up Bongo's Bingos for?
Well, I think someone last week said £31.
Although I think that I think Bongo's bigger than your average flailing man.
Ah, well, they're all. I think of them as lofty.
I would describe him as he's quite an upscale fellow.
Okay, what kind
salubrious,
of
salubrious one might say?
20 feet.
I think 30 feet.
30 feet.
Mm.
I wanted him as an anti-loneliness device in my living room.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Well, wasn't going
to
work.
Feel free to buy me him for Valentine's.
Okay.
Do you want to know how much Bongo's Bingo Inflatable Man is?
Go on.
Yours for £60.
Still, Cheap.
Not bad for a 30-foot flailing man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Exactly.
And other things I like to hear.
That's one of my pickup lines.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm surprised. They've sort of... They added a golden age, those rippling giants, and then they've sort of...
Lord of the Rings?
Yeah.
They had a golden age, those rippling giants. It's like a documentary about wrestling.
But I tell you what, I do only see them mainly now on the police procedural dramas.
Oh, really?
The Americans, yeah. Frank, Sycamore Flint has also got in touch.
Sycamore?
Flint.
Okay.
What a name.
It's good.
It's very John Irving, isn't it?
Talking of police procedurals.
It's a name that's been adopted rather than...
It does sound, yes.
But perhaps. I like it. Still, nevertheless.
Would you like to know Sycamore Flint's question?
Oh, God, yeah.
Is there a difference between a comedian and a comic? Are they interchangeable, or is it bad form to call a comedian a comic? Frank Skinner, what say you?
I don't know. No idea.
Comic is more of an American import. They've always said, I'm a comic.
Americanism.
Yeah. They say, I'm a comic. I'm a working comic.
But Frank, that's not true. You don't have any idea, because you have told me in the past you prefer to be called a comic. Is that still true, and why?
Did I say that?
Yes, you did. I felt you felt it was like a purer form of it.
I think, no, I don't. I think if I said that, I was having an aberration.
I think comedian implies more like sort of telling jokes in the most formal way, whereas a comic is more of a sort of a stand-up, anecdotal, personal.
Well, when I first started out, I had something of a vendetta launched against me by the Malcolm Hay, who wrote for Time Out, was a comedy writer, and he used to... I remember when they had listings, they would say things like, always entertaining comic, blah, 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 the ever popular, da, 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 and comedian Frank Skinner. And I always thought, you know what, you don't know it, but just putting that word comedian makes me so happy because that's all I wanted to be. So, I think I prefer comedian.
Okay. All right. We know. Oh.
I'm just happy to be called at all nowadays.
Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio.
Frank, we were talking about chat up lines earlier.
Yes.
And sharing the top 25 or something. 565 has said they've improved, or they've attempted to improve, one of the existing chat up lines. There was a Google one, Pierre. Do you remember what it was? It was something like, are you Google because...
Oh, yes, because I've been searching for you my whole life, yes.
Which doesn't work, of course.
So Kurt has said, using the Google reference, perhaps a better line would be, is your name Google? Because maybe you could help me find a way to your heart. That is an improvement, Kurt.
Oh, that is better. Yeah.
That's a better one.
At least.
And there used to be a novelty song called Barney Google, the man with the googly eyes. Maybe that could be
incorporated. Well, that sounds like that and really get me in the mood.
He's been sued into the ground, of course.
Yeah.
612 is just...
Exactly. He was first.
612 has simply asked the question, what do bears smell like? I suspect, who do you think out of the three of us would be best qualified
to
know?
What do bears smell? I think it's, what do bears smell like?
Well, I know what Bez smells like, because I've met him.
Okay, what did he smell like?
Yeah.
Drink?
Surprisingly fragrant.
Tambourine powder?
Okay.
Not tambourine. What do bears smell like, Pierre?
Well, the woods, I imagine.
Okay.
Yeah. Sort of musty.
Oh no! And we had a bit of extra bingo lingo, Ringo.
Yes, Iona Fass explains that Bongo's Bingo was a wild, boozy bingo experience that started off in Liverpool. It's a crazy mix of traditional bingo, dance offs, rave intervals, and audience participation. The inflatable man must be a neglected prop from that event.
Oh.
He's retired.
That would have been in the documentary about the inflatable man. That would have been in writing at the end.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Do you think it's a bit like when well-meaning middle-class families get former battery hens and put them in the garden?
Maybe. Yes.
Get the inflatable man and let him have a nice
retirement.
Do
people do that with battery hens? I imagine they get.
I like the idea of the Netflix documentary about the inflatable man, and I imagine someone sitting there, and you know when they do the bit at the beginning, which we're like saying, "Is this on? Is the mic okay? Should I sit like this?"
Is he on? Is he on?
Is he here? Right, is he here yet? Can you put that cigarette out, please, immediately?
How's this for a? I've come with one more attempt at a chatter line.
Go on.
Are you Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio? Because I'd like to text you about once a week. Is that good?
I worry that
Are you
Pierre
my ex-partner? Because that was the MO.
Oh, enough chat up lines. Good luck with yours this weekend. And
extraordinary way to end the show.
Thank you for listening to us. And if the good Lord spares us and the creeks don't rise, we'll be back again this time next week. Now get out. This is Frank Skinner. This is Absolute Radio.